Welcome to the Quantum Revenue Expansion Podcast. My name is Ursula Minchus, and I'm a sales expert, strategic business coach, and USA Today bestselling author. I love sharing strategies that show you exactly how to turn your annual revenue into your monthly revenue. If you're looking to take a quantum leap in your revenue or sales, your team, your productivity, your success, and your life, then you are meant to be here. My goal in every episode is to help you take your belief that it's possible to 2x or 10x your revenue while working way less to knowing that it is happening right now. And welcome back to Quantum Revenue Expansion, where we talk about turning your annual income into your monthly income. I'm so excited. I have the most amazing guest today. Her name is Azra, and we're going to be talking about Vedic wisdom for business success, if I can say it. Vedic wisdom for business success. And she's going to tell us all about that. So I want to say hello, Azra. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ursula. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so excited. So I have the opportunity to be on your very incredible Next Level Wealth Summit, which we're going to talk about. Next Level Wealth Manifesting Summit. I forgot the most important word of all. We're going to talk about that at the end. It was just such an honor to be interviewed by you. And I felt like, I don't know, like we've known each other for lifetimes, but we just met and we just were so aligned in how we see the world and how our desire to help people. So I'm so excited. I have so many questions for you today. But before we get there, just a little bit of housekeeping for our listeners. I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much. The podcast, like so many of you are downloading the podcast on a regular basis and you're listening to the shows over again, the episodes. And we just want to say thank you because that tells us that we are connecting with you, that the content we're producing is meaningful to you. So if there's any topics that are popping up, you can always email us at contact@ursulainc.co. Let us know something that you'd like me to talk about or a guest that you'd like to have me to have on. And also, if you're feeling the pull and you haven't hung out with us at the 2X Intensive yet, you can go to ursulainc.co or now we did buy the .com. So we have both, but you can go to that link /apply. Send us some information about your company, and we'll set up a time to chat with you about whether or not the 2X Intensive is a good fit for you. We've had clients who have been getting incredible returns this year, growing their businesses by 2Xing, some even 10Xing their revenue. So if you're feeling the pull, come and play with us. And with that, let me tell you about Azra. Azra's journey began with a challenge to prove an astrologer wrong. I feel like that first sentence says everything we need to know about you. Leading her to discover the real power of cosmic alignment. After 2 decades in corporate America, 2 decades, she went and studied Vedic astrology from a renowned guru in India and pursued her coaching certification as well. Azra now helps entrepreneurs analyze their astrological charts to identify favorable times for making crucial business decisions, uncover potential challenges, and offer strategies to align their business activities with planetary energies, which I feel like there's a lot going on right now. I'm just going to say that for optimal results. She's also the creator of the Soul Intensive Method, a blueprint to transform your life using astrological insights. In her talks, Azra shares how astrology isn't just about stars. It is a tool to supercharge your personal and professional life. She empowers you to become a self-healer, armed with your astrological roadmap and personalized energy tools. Can you guys guess why I'm so excited? So tell us, like, I mean, we got a little bit, like you skipped out on corporate America. That must have been very painful for you. But tell us a little bit about your story, Azra. Like, what brought you to this world?
Yeah, as you know, right? 2 decades in corporate America, I was on CFO track, very happy. And it's not that, you know, I did not like the grind. I was happy. But at the same time, I also had that spiritual life. So I was practicing Reiki for 17 years. I was a meditator, so I meditated every single day. So I was balancing that spiritual and 3D life. And for my son, who was very young at that time, I consulted a Vedic astrologer. Mm-hmm. And he predicted a few things. And me being the left brain I was like, no, there is free will. I don't believe it. And we'll see what happens. And I'm going to actually try to.
So Mama Bear came out and was like, this is not. So this person had predicted something for your son. And you're like, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, yeah. And despite of all these spiritual practices, I could feel that resistance in me. But what he predicted actually happened.
Oh.
So that was like a light bulb moment, right? You know, that moment of epiphany that, oh, like, whoa, what did just happen? Exactly what he said happened. And at that moment, I was like, oh, if I could have used this as a guidance, as a blueprint, as a roadmap, instead of being so arrogant about it, that would have changed my life. That's when I took a 2-month sabbatical. I went to study ancient scriptures. I studied Vedic astrology. And now I combine my business expertise and astrology to help entrepreneurs, healers, consultants, some very well-known quote-unquote celebrities as well. Yeah, I do feel that planets impact us in a very profound way. It's just that all that knowledge that we had thousands of years ago that our ancestors had, we are not using it. We are not making use of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that could be life-changing.
So it's kind of like we came to planet Earth and we forgot everything. And now we get to try to figure out what we've forgotten as these things are dropped in.
Right.
So there was something about what this person said. It came to pass, which really gave you that aha moment. And then you're like, I'm going to take a sabbatical. I got to figure this out for myself.
Yeah.
So since then, what has your journey been like? How do you use Vedic astrology for yourself? How do you use it for your clients?
Yeah. So a few things, right? I think it's a very interesting combination of understanding yourself. And we think astrology is understanding of planets. No, it's understanding of your own self, if you think about it. It's just another modality that you can understand yourself. So when you were born, and that's what ancient scripture says, and I have actually tried to compare it to, you know, shamanism and other Aboriginal cultures, you will find so many similarities that it's like, wow, all these people who lived thousands of years ago knew it, and somebody from Central America was following similar practices that somebody was following in ancient India, which was very fascinating. So scriptures say that that when you are born, planets were in certain position, right? That's your static potential. But then planets are constantly moving. That's your transit potential. So I can look at your chart and say that, and I'll give you an example. You have a shrinking moon, so you have a habit of, or you have a tendency to shrink yourself. Okay, that's information. You can either be like, oh yeah, that's how I am. Or you can say that, oh, so I have this tendency. Now what psychological tools, and you know these tools better than me, what NLP tools I can use to actually help with that? So once you know yourself better, you'll be like, okay, I totally understand. Another example, let's say you have a static potential of being rich, right? And there are planetary combinations. And then people are like, oh, but I'm not rich, but that's where the transit potential comes in. So the potential is there, but it's going to come to fruition when these two energies match.
Gotcha.
So I believe that understanding A, yourself, B, timing, that, hey, there is a timing for everything. So you don't be impatient and, you know, you keep doing your karma. And when that happens, you will be ready for it. So just that understanding of myself and having that patience, that concept of patience that, yeah, it's going to happen, but I need to be ready for it. That is what I believe changed my life. And I think that's what's very important for my clients as well. Because a lot of people are, we are good at quitting, right? A lot of, you know this, a lot of businesses, they close down in the first year of their existence. Because, yes, there are a lot of business reasons for that. Your strategy could be wrong. You may be targeting the wrong market. You may be, actually, your messaging could be poor. There are all the reasons, but most of us are very impatient. When we don't see the result, we just flip out right away. But we don't understand that what is inside me, what is my tendency, when the timing will be right, and we don't exercise our karma enough. But if we do, I think magic can be created. So that's how my life has changed. I used to be a very impatient person, but now if I know something is going to happen, I want to be prepared for it. So if I know that my business is going to be very busy, I just want to make sure that I'm investing on myself. If I have a shrinking moon, I want to make sure that I'm working with somebody like you who can help me, like, hey, that keep those NLP practices. You want to make sure that you are not messing up and you are prepared for when that event happens, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's the power of understanding yourself and understanding that things are going to happen in their own time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's hard for us impatient entrepreneurs to understand. I really appreciate you saying that, because at the same time, people do say that, well, there's a time or there's a season. And in your case, there's a planet. So how does Vedic astrology compare to others or differ from, or what is it that drew you into it specifically?
I was always interested in, like, you know, the ancient wisdom that, hey, why do shamans do it this way? Why do some Aboriginal cultures, you know, do this? What does that signify? But mm-hmm. I think my trigger moment was when that Vedic astrologer was that precise in his prediction. Because if you look at Western astrology, so the Western astrology originated in Greece, right? And this is like, what, a few thousand years ago?
Yeah.
You go back, way back. The origin, the real origin of astrology was ancient India.
Mm-hmm.
So from that Indus Valley mm-hmm. civilization, it moved to China, then it came to Europe with partitions. So that's how it traveled. When it went to Greek, so the astrology that we now follow, Western astrology, right,
mm-hmm.
is from Greece. So it's very psychological in nature. It is going to tell you that, okay, you are like this, you are like that, you like this color, these are your lucky numbers. It's not very predictive in nature. So as we say, right, that you do better when you know better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was always like that, if I need a roadmap for my own self,
yeah,
what would that be like? Which gotcha. Is both spiritual and accuracy-wise. I have a numbers background, business and numbers background. So I was always like, accuracy. So it is said that Western astrology is like 68 to 70% accurate when it comes to assessing people's personalities and all.
Yeah.
Vedic astrology, when it comes to predictive, it's like 90%+, depending on who is doing the interpretation. But it's so interesting that it's way more predictive in nature.
Got it. So that's what you with your background, especially with numbers, you saw the predictive nature and you experienced it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about money, because you are, is that okay if I shift gears yes. a little? You're in the Quantum Revenue Expansion Show, and we love to talk about money here. We have business owners, mostly business owners, who are hanging out with us. Some, you know, maybe having a really good quarter. Some might be struggling a little bit. How can we apply Vedic astrology to business and money, and what have you learned, and how do you help your clients in this area?
Yeah, for sure. So again, you have to start from within, right? A lot of mm-hmm. us, you know, like for instance, if I'm listening to a business coach who is saying that I am a TEDx speaking coach, okay?
Yeah.
And you see that, oh, so many people are doing so well. That's great. And people always ask me this question, Ursula, that what's the best strategy? I'm like, best strategy is what works best for you.
Amen.
That's the best
yeah.
strategy.
Yeah.
Right? Because like, and then people, a lot of people come and say that, oh, that coach did that. And I'm like, they didn't do anything. There are other people benefiting from their work. So don't say that their strategy may not have worked for you. And I believe in radical responsibility. You take radical responsibility that you should have first assessed it, that if it's mm-hmm. going to work for you. But how do we assess? By knowing ourselves. So think of astrology as a tool for knowing yourself, your own personalized blueprint roadmap with mm-hmm. timing attached to it. That yes, this I'm good at it, but this is not going to work in this time. So I just need to prepare for it. When this time comes, that's where I hit.
Yeah. So without sharing like confidential names, can you think of any client yes. examples or stories? Yeah, I'd love to hear some of those.
So actually, we'll be featuring one of those speakers in our upcoming summits, Ursula, so I can actually share the name later on with you. But the TEDx example is coming from him, because he was working with a speaking coach, because he's a very articulate, well-spoken person. He doesn't do well in groups, but somebody told him that you are so articulate, why don't you actually go to this TEDx person and, you know, He has a coaching business, so that's your coaching business is going to benefit from it. I wouldn't say that it was a bad advice. It was a good advice for him.
Yeah.
But when I look at his chart and I have been working with him for a while, I'm like, that's a good advice. But think about it. Your house of speech is not that active. That doesn't mean that, okay, my house of speech is weak. I will never be a good speaker. No. But if you're looking for a low-hanging fruit, speaking is not a low-hanging fruit for you.
Mm.
I truly believe that everything is figure outable if you work on it. Universe, God has given us a lot of free will. You can do that. You can definitely do that. But if you're looking for low-hanging fruit, look at your birth chart and it's going to give you indications. And I tell him that I'm like, are you a writer by any chance? And he's like, yeah, I write journals. And I'm like, I see your house of writing is very, you know, Jupiter is aspecting it. It's in a very good constellation. Are you hiding something? And he smiles and he's like, I've been writing like sort of a book. I'm like, there is a book or there is a notebook.
Right. Sort of a book. Yeah.
Ursula, within 18 months, he was a published author. His business actually benefited from that book. That book actually helped him, you know, book a lot of clients because now he's a published author. Within 18 months, which if you think about it, was actually the time of the sub period he was going through. He hasn't given up on his speaking, but that is still, I don't want to say it's not going anywhere, but that is a very slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we are impatient entrepreneurs, right? So if we are looking for low-hanging fruit, we have to see, A, what time is good for what, B, who we are, where my strengths lie, and just accept it without being egoistic about it. Not everybody is born to write a book. Not everybody is born to, you know, do TEDx speeches. It's totally fine. Not everybody needs to, you know, be like have a super big social media presence. It's just about the timing. So once you understand the timing and once you understand your low-hanging fruits, you can benefit so much. And that's birth chart is the first thing I look at. And the second thing I look at, your own karma patterns. So Vedic scriptures believe that everybody has a karmic pattern, right? Which means that when we were born, we brought a lot with us. What that means is that we must have brought some ancestral baggage. If my parents died without paying back for what they should have paid back for, I'll be paying back for it. If I have made mistakes in past lives, there is a concept of past life in Vedic scriptures. I did not grow up with that concept. But if you look at that ancient scripture, there is a concept of past life, which means that we are bringing a lot with us. So we need to clean that up.
Mm-hmm.
So if I see a lot of heavy karmic imprint, what I say is that a lot of people ask me, I'm stuck, right? I'm like, no, you're not stuck. If you are in negative, if your bank balance is in negative, what do? You keep depositing and it will come up.
Yeah.
That's like your karmic bank. Yes, you started in negative, which means you need to make more deposits. And deposits doesn't mean that you have to go and donate thousands of dollars. I mean, that's good if you can afford to do that, but you can do things like feed birds, smile at a stranger. I mean, be careful, depending on where you live, but be nice. Give somebody a free advice. Be nice to somebody. Be gentle to your pets. That is all.
Sorry.
No, all good. That is all karmic bank, right? That's all karmic bank getting up. Think of it as a bank balance, right? That you have a negative. Keep making deposits. Again, when you are focused on understanding yourself, understanding your karmic patterns, now you have a lot of information. And again, as we said, right? When you have better information, you make better decisions, right?
Yeah.
Those decisions are not that impulsive because you have a lot of data. And there are so many data points when it comes to Vedic astrology. There are houses, there are planets, there are stars, there are constellations. A lot of those things can actually give you a direction. And I track accuracy rate. It has been 98%.
What? How do you track that? So like, walk us through that a little bit. So do you typically work with clients over a longer period of time? Is that how you're able to track? Tell us more.
Yeah. So for instance, this book, that is a data point, right? When I said, you start writing and he's like, is it going to be a book? Actually, have a sort of a book. And I'm like, yeah, there is no sort of a book. You need to start getting a coach. And again, feel what you feel like. That's where your fortune lies, okay? He actually ended up getting a book coach and he published his book, as I said. But that is a data point for me that if we predicted that, did that happen, right? That person may have chosen to not do anything with it, but, and I did not say it to him at that time. I was, another data point for me was that a speech business is not going to go anywhere. So that is my data point in my head. So I was tracking it. And it did not, because he was working with two coaches at the same time, a TEDx coach, a speech coach, and a book coach.
Interesting.
The book was finished, published. He found a publisher. He sold a book to a publisher.
In 18 months. That's a fast. I've written
very fast.
To sell it to a publisher too. That's amazing.
And that's why I call it low-hanging fruit, Ursula, because think about it. Same thing. Again, if you are born with a BMW engine, and you are trying to put that BMW engine in a truck, it's not going to work that fast. If you put that in a BMW engine, in a BMW body, it's going to work faster. So that's the low-hanging fruit. I always say that it doesn't mean you can never do speeches or you cannot be a speaker.
No, sure.
That's not what I mean. But if you want low-hanging fruit, that's where the potential, both potential lies. And I think once a person gets results, so confidence goes up, especially for entrepreneurs, right? Who are still earlier in their journey. It's very important to get those low-hanging fruits so that they can feel confident.
Yeah. Well, that makes so much sense. Like, so you're able to look at their chart and say, you know, in your business, have you looked at this? Or maybe over here, or what's going on over here? And definitely this, maybe not so much attention on it now. So, you know, circling back, I mean, and that, like that ties to money, right? Where those financial opportunities are for someone who's maybe dealing with, like, they've hit an income ceiling, or they've even gone backwards a little bit in their revenue. They're just feeling like, you know, what's going on? What have you seen with this, or what advice would you give them?
So there are four ways of looking at income. We call it money karma, because you have brought it, right? So let's say you don't have a good, and I'll tell you what those four ways are. First is your service, which means when you are working for somebody else. The other way is your business income, right? That you are running the show and people are working for you and you are bringing in money. Third one is the speculative gains. That is basically lotteries and stocks and bonds and cryptos. There is a money karma attached to it. And the fourth one is money through what we call losses. Could be inheritance, could be things like that. Actually, I was dealing with
accidents or
insurance is also that, right?
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody yesterday, and this person I have been consulting for a while. He's a realtor. And I always said, you have a very good house of inheritance. You're going to get inheritance. He's like, no, my mom is poor. My father is no longer. No, I don't think. He ended up getting inheritance through his in-laws.
Wow.
And he's like, you were right. And I'm like, yeah. So that's another data point, right? I'm like, yeah, because I'm like, he always said, and he never mentioned a rich father-in-law. So I was like, yeah, maybe I'm wrong, right? And there are instances, Ursula, where I'm happy that I'm wrong, because, you know, what you see is not that ideal. So you see and you are like, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
He ended up getting inheritance. So these are the four ways we look at from a money karma perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to money, I look at money in two ways. One is it going to come from job? Is it going to come from business? Is it going to come from speculative gains? Is it going to come from insurance, inheritance, sudden deaths, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, which unfortunately a lot of astrologers don't look at, is your mental capacity, right? Which is predicted by Saturn and Moon.
Okay.
So the more emotionally, mentally strong you are, the more potential you have to earn money.
Interesting. Makes sense.
So think about it. People who have a very dark moon, they will give up very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a few in my family and I see that and I notice it and I'm like, wow, you didn't even. And people with Saturn, they'll always feel constrained, right? Even if they have, they're like, I don't know, I have to hold it. Like money, so moon will not let you hold money sometimes. So you will get money and then you won't be able to hold it. You'll be like, psst.
Mm.
So there was leakages, right? So
yeah.
It all pertains to your emotional and mental capacity.
Yeah.
If you shrink yourself, if you are not feeling the sense of worth, that is something you need to work on. Mm-hmm. So you can work on it on three levels, right? One is there are a lot of planetary remedies available, right? And those are mostly easy remedies. Meditation is one of them. Donation is another one. Bathing, depending on how your moon is, so be very careful. Bathing in moonlight, full moon, only if your moon allows. And I know that there is a lot of this thing, and a lot of people do these inner moon circle. And I'm like, well, if you have a debilitated moon, please don't do that. It's going to actually not be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of generic information available, but I always say, look at your individual chart.
Yeah.
Universe, God has made you very differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
New moon, a lot of people say, oh, new moon. Actually, new moon is the darkest moon. So you be very careful whatever you do on that. That moon is actually only good for introspection and journaling and meditating.
Wow.
So again, and especially if you were born in dark moon, don't do a business launch or a product launch on that day. So again, knowing these things will help you. And you know what? Sometimes people are like, I don't believe it. I'm like, why don't you actually do it? You want to do something on new moon, do it, and let's see what are the results. Some of, she's a friend and a client, and she launched, and she's like, no, I think new moon is good. It's a new beginning. I want to try it. I'm like, do it. She got 6 people in her new launch, product launch. She was expecting 100.
Ooh.
Because, so think of moon, Ursula. It impacts oceans, right?
Yeah.
And moon is this big because moon is a very small planet. It circles around Earth. So imagine planets like Saturn and Jupiter, what kind of electromagnetic rays they are throwing, right?
Mm, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we just opened a big book and it's like, there's so many nuances and so much to know. I know we're almost out of time and there's things you want to share with us at the end. So how would you wrap this all up for somebody in a nice little, like, so someone's not like, oh my gosh, like all the things, right? What should I do? What would you say to someone who's listening right now?
So I would say 3 things, actually, if you allow me to.
Please.
First, the step is understanding yourself. So before you go, try to start a business. Your own thought patterns, moon is going to give you a lot of idea into that. So as I said, understand yourself. That is the most important thing. The second thing I always say is understand that everybody has those shrinking patterns or karmic patterns. Understand that you have free will.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people say that, okay, astrology, now I'm, pardon my language, screwed, right? Like I won't be able to do anything. No. Every human being has been given radical responsibility. So I can give you an information that, oh, you have this thinking pattern. You can do one of the two things with it. You can say that, okay, I'm screwed. I can't do anything about it. Or you can say that, thank you for this information. And now this is the area I need to focus on. But these are the low hanging fruits where I can actually reap the result from right now. But I can keep working on those things. And I have seen people change the destiny. Third thing, be very careful of your karmic bank. So everything you think about, you say, you do, creates a karmic load. And everything is energy. So this is not me saying this. This is Albert Einstein saying that. If you read about quantum, actually, if you don't even read quantum physics, if you just read physics, you will realize that energy will never be destroyed. It's not going to go anywhere. It's going to just change form, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everything is karma. If you're not going to pay back in this life, you will eventually be paying for it, or somebody else will be paying for it. We just want to hope it's not our kids, right? So make sure that you are being very careful about your karma, and everything you think, say, do is a part of your karma. And once you do that, and once you work with energetic patterns, money is just a byproduct. It is going to come. And that's why we say we are in service business. Focus on service. Don't mm-hmm. focus on anything else. When you are serving, you are in good karma.
Yeah, beautiful.
When you do that, money just flows because money is energy.
You said when you are serving, you are in good karma. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Beautiful. When you are serving, you're in good karma. That is a perfect place for us to begin to wrap up today. Ezra, thank you for sharing your wisdom. And behind the scenes, we had a lot of stuff going on. I think there's just a lot of energy moving through this recording, which is makes it even more exciting. We have some cool things that I want you to share. So first, if someone's like, I know you have a limited amount of opportunities for people to connect with you. You're not able to work with everyone. But if someone who is like, I'd love to have a discovery call just to see if it's a fit, what would you like to share about that? And then we'll have that link in the show notes.
For sure. Yeah. As you said, right? Fortunately or unfortunately, I cannot work with everybody because I do have to see their birth chart to understand that if the energies are matching, if also they are in a time period. Remember, static potential, moving potential. I want to make sure that they are in a moving potential where they will be able to utilize this information to generate wealth, right?
Yeah.
If that matches, then I work with them depending on, you know, their goals on a 6 to 12 month basis. And that's where the journey began. But again, I just want to make sure that I'm able to serve, and I do that through my discovery calls. I am happy to offer top 50, like, you know, whoever, first come, first serve, 50 people on that, you know, discovery call. I can share the link with you and you can share with your community.
Beautiful. We will definitely have that in the show notes. And thank you for that opportunity for those who feel called. And then talk a little bit about the Next Level Wealth Manifesting Summit, 25 top influencers. I'm super fortunate to have participated and been part of this incredible event. I'm just looking at it now. Sorry, I'm looking down all the things. How would someone know that this is a good fit for them or a next step for them to participate?
Yeah, 100%. So in 2018, I decided that X percent of my work will always be free. So summits, masterclasses, discovery calls, because on discovery call, I give a lot of tips as well, even if I can't work with people. So that is the part of that, my karmic bank that I'm building. I want to make sure that it keeps going up. Summits are a part of that. So it's a very good opportunity for all of us to grow together. But at the same time, people who can't afford, they can come and learn, right? And sometimes even a small tweak in their life can, you know, make a major difference. So that's what Next Level Manifesting Summit is. It is season 2 of the summit. I plan to continue doing that every year. So in this summit, we have a community of spiritual entrepreneurs who have this disputed relationship with manifesting, right? That I want to manifest, but I can't manifest, but I don't believe in it, but I believe in it. So what we are going to do, we have 25 really, really great spiritually aligned people who will be actually telling you that how the energetics work when it comes to manifesting, but also what's the science of manifesting. So we have doctors, we have amazing coaches like Ursula, we have people who have actually manifested using both science and energetics who are going to be sharing their secrets with you. There are a lot of modalities that we are representing, like, so we have breath work people, we have feminine energy experts, we have tapping experts. So we have, you name it, and that modality, we have it.
Yeah, super juicy. And I just realized I'm in the middle. I don't know what that means, but we are directly in alignment there, which I think it says so much about this. So I'm just honored to be surrounded by these experts. I feel like energetically I get a boost just by being there. And we've been sending it to our clients. We had a lot of clients reaching out and asking us questions. And someone asked what the time commitment is, and we were trying to explain to them. We're like, you just sign up and then you receive, like, you know, your leisure. So there's nothing, no major, like, you know, export from you. And I just want to say too, you've inspired us to think about our own summit from just an opportunity of giving back, because it is such a great way to bring together those people who are in your community, your circle, that you want to share with others. So thank you for creating the Wealth Manifesting Summit season 2, and for including me. I really appreciate the opportunity. So final words, anything else, Ezra, that you want to share before we sign off today?
Start from inside out. Know yourself, know your strengths. And once you have a roadmap, serve without focusing on outside noise. That's all I want to say.
So beautiful. All right. Thank you, Ezra. Today was amazing. And really talking about the Vedic wisdom for our business success. So thanks again for being here. We wish you so many blessings and beautiful karma that continues to expand in however way that you wish it to. I don't know if you can say that. Just a blessing to know you. And to our listeners all over the world, thanks for hanging out with us again. We appreciate you so much. If there's anything we can do, you can always email contact@ursulainc.co. My team sees it. If it's a message for me, it'll get to me as well. That's it for this week, everybody. Make this your most epic month yet.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you loved what you heard, be sure to leave a review on iTunes so I know what you like and can create content that guides you to uplevel your business even more. If you want more strategic business tips, follow me on social media. You'll find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And you can visit my website at www.ursulainc.co. I love being on this journey with you and can't wait to connect with you on the next episode. In the meantime, make this your most epic month yet.